All right, so we're on with Pastor Jeff Hubing, and we're talking about the mysterious spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. And in this lesson, we're going to talk about whether or not it was just a Corinthian thing.
1 Corinthians 12 through 14 and Acts chapter 2 are the two places that most people connect with the idea of speaking in tongues in the New Testament. However, I want to suggest to your listeners and readers today that there may be at least three other New Testament books that refer to speaking in tongues, and we want to just take a look at those passages today. First passage I want us to look at is in Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, where Paul argues that the Spirit himself prays or intercedes through believers according to the will of God, and that it is sometimes through unspeakable or inarticulate groanings or sighs. Now, the original language seems to suggest that it is possible that Paul refers here to words that are not articulate, that is, can't be pronounced or can't be spoken in a recognizable language. Now, scholars debate whether Paul's reference is to tongues here or not, and good arguments could be made in both ways. But what convinces me that Paul is referring to tongues are the fact that it occurs in the context of prayer, which is also true of 1 Corinthians 14, as well as the connection to the idea of the will of God in Romans 8, which in Paul's way of thinking refers, I think, also to the idea of mysteries, that is, the unfolding of God's plan or his ultimate purpose for people. So I think Paul is making a little reference here to prayer in tongues. That's, of course, not the only way that we can pray in a way led by the Spirit, but I think that it is one legitimate way. Now, a second reference to prayer in tongues may be found in Ephesians 6. As a part of a very important passage about God's armor and preparing ourselves for spiritual battle, in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, Paul refers to praying at all times in the Spirit in 6:18. Now, of course, Paul doesn't use the specific phrase speaking in tongues here, but he does use the exact same language as he did in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, where he says, I could pray in the Spirit, or I can pray with my mind. The original language is the same. So while we can't say with absolute certainty that this is a reference to tongues, it is certainly consistent with the way Paul speaks of praying in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14. One final reference to tongues may be found in the book of Jude. Now, we know a lot less about Jude than we might about Paul or some of the others. We have a lot smaller sample size. We have only this one letter, and so we don't know exactly what Jude refers to when he mentions praying in the Spirit in verse 20. Now, two things make me think he might be referring to prayer in tongues here. First of all, again, his language matches precisely the language of Paul about praying in tongues in 1 Corinthians. That is, he says, praying in the Spirit. Second is that it is connected to the same idea of edification or building ourselves up in the most holy faith that Paul refers to in Corinthians. So again, you have a connection between prayer and edifying or building up, and the language of in the Spirit could be another way of saying pray in tongues. Build yourselves up with the same kind of theological expectation that Paul has in 1 Corinthians. I want to also make a point that even though the language of praying in tongues does not appear, there is another reference to the idea of using these gifts of the Spirit to build up the body of Christ in 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. And there we have a fascinating expression from the Apostle Peter that encourages Christians to use the gifts they have to build the church, to encourage and edify one another. And again, I find that strikingly similar to the language we see elsewhere about the responsibility of believers to use whatever gifts they have, whether it's tongues or something else, to build up the body of Christ.
All right, so then, Jeff, what would you say to the person who maybe has gotten this far in this series? You know, we're five lessons into it, a lot of great content, a lot of great information on tongues. What would you say to the person who either is interested in the gift but doesn't really know how to go about getting it, or maybe who has been seeking to get it but hasn't been able to?
Great question, Brian. And in fact, I think that's such an important question that I wanted to devote an entire section to that. So really, the last section we're going to tackle next time deals with how an individual could respond to the opportunity, the invitation to speak in tongues on a practical level.